Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio preacher, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-exalting program called The Voice of the Gospel. And I thank God today that we have a gospel to tell. Yes, it's the good news, the glad tidings, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And friend, if you're a sinner unsaved listening in today, I trust you'll give heed to what the Word of God has to say. Yes, what the Bible says about you as a sinner, and what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible has to say about Him, God's Son, being your Savior. Now friends, the message I have in mind today is a rather lengthy one, and I'm going to just forego the playing of a hymn at the beginning of the program, and we'll ask God's blessing on His Word. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son, Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee, our God, for His condescending grace, His perfect walk while here upon the scenes of time. But we thank Thee most of all for Calvary. It was there that they crucified Him. He was the just one dying for we the unjust, so that He might bring us back to Thee. We thank Thee for His precious blood, without which there can be no remission for sin. And we thank Thee, our God, that after He was buried, He rose from the dead, and He now sits at Thy right hand, a living high priest. And Father, the desire of our heart is to speak well of Him today. And we thank Thee, our God, that one of these days He's coming back to reclaim from the world His own. And we thank Thee, our God, those of us who are saved, that we have the assurance of Thy Word, that he that shall come, and will not tarry. Bless Thy Word wherever Christ is being preached today. Save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, if you have your Bibles or New Testaments handy, I'll be reading from the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24. Begin reading at verse 32, and the Lord Jesus Christ is doing the speaking. This is Matthew 24, verse 32. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it, or as the margin says, he, is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have allowed or suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, you may recall that on the last broadcast, I began a two-part series dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ. At that time, I mentioned that the second coming is divided into two parts: the rapture of the church, which could take place at any time, and following the rapture, there would be at least 7 years of tribulation on the earth, during which the Antichrist would reign. At the end of this tribulation period, the Lord Jesus Christ would come forth in Revelation to defeat the forces of evil and to establish his millennial reign upon the earth. I also mentioned that the second coming of Christ is the most predominant doctrine taught in the Word of God and is mentioned 568 times. Now remember, I didn't say it was the most important doctrine, because none can surpass the cross work of Christ, but it's the most predominant doctrine. In other words, you'll read more about the second coming of Christ than you will about any other doctrine found in the Bible. Now today, with the imperative help of the Holy Spirit of God, I want to bring to your attention seven characteristics of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And let me say at the outset that the second coming of Christ, as far as the rapture of the church is concerned, is both signless and timeless. Did you hear that? The second coming of Christ, insofar as the rapture of the church is concerned, is both signless and timeless. Friends, there are no signs given in the Bible relative to the rapture of the church. And no one on earth knows when Jesus Christ will come to the air to claim from the world his own. I want you to understand, my friend, that Matthew chapter 24 deals with the revelation of Jesus Christ following the tribulation period. But friend, listen. If we see signs of his revelation, and the rapture occurs at least 7 years earlier, how much nearer we must be to the rapture of the church. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about the second coming of Christ is the fact that it is sure. It is sure. There's no question about it, friend. In the New Testament, where the Lord's return is brought before us at least 320 times, there are seven witnesses to this great event. It is foretold by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by the angels, by Peter, James, and John, and Jude, and Paul. Yes, all seven speak of the second coming of Christ. Now let's take a look at three separate portions of God's Word to see what is said about the absolute certainty of the second coming of Christ. Here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, Jesus Christ says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." So we'll start with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ over in John chapter 14. There in John chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." There's the promise. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now over in Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them that they are soon going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit from heaven, and that they were going to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, here's what we read. "And when he had spoken these things, while they," meaning the disciples, "beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Yes, the Lord was gone, but he immediately sent back a message to those whose hearts were gripped with fear, despair, and loneliness. Yes, in the next two verses, here's what we read. This is Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." This, my friend, was the first message from heaven after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, over in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7, we read where Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I come quickly." Yes, behold, I come quickly. Then in that same chapter 22 of Revelation, in verse 12, he repeats it. "Behold, I come quickly." And friend, the last recorded words of Jesus Christ in the Bible are found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. Here they are. "Surely," did you hear that? "Surely, I come quickly." Yes, the second coming of Jesus Christ is sure. Now, friend, the second thing I want you to notice about the Lord's return is the fact that it is also going to be soon. It's going to be soon. And I believe that I could take several broadcasts to tell you why I believe the second coming of Jesus Christ will be soon. But one of the foremost reasons, I believe, is found in our passage today. Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 and 33. Jesus Christ says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it," or as the margin says, "he is near, even at the doors." Now friends, every Bible scholar I've ever known or heard of agree that the fig tree in the scriptures speaks to the nation of Israel. And here the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that when the fig tree, or Israel, sprouts her branches and showing life, then the second coming of Christ is even at the door. Well, up until May 14th of 1948, the Jews were scattered throughout the world. They had no homeland, and because of their rebellion to God and His Son, they were despised and shamefully treated wherever they went. But on May the 14th, 1948, under the guidance of God, the United Nations established the nation of Israel in their Palestinian homeland. Yes, Israel once again took her place amongst the sovereign nations of the world. And even though Israel is only about the size of the state of New Jersey and only has about 3.5 million people or inhabitants in the nation, nevertheless, it is the fastest growing and one of the most powerful nations on the face of the earth. Yes, and even though it only has been in existence and developing since 1948, there are now Jews in Israel who have returned from 120 nations and who speak 83 different languages. Friends, the fig tree is budding. The fig tree is budding. And furthermore, if I were to read my newspaper today or hear the news on the radio and was told that Russia, with her gigantic military forces, had conquered Israel, friend, I would tear up my Bible and never preach Christ again. Why? Because Israel will never be defeated or scattered again. Friend, whether you believe it or not, and whether you like it or not, Israel is still the apple of God's eye, and they're His chosen people. Yes, there is yet a glorious future for the nation of Israel. Now, one other thing before I pass on. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 29, we're told by the Lord Jesus Christ that in addition to the fig tree or Israel budding, there will be budding on the part of all the trees. And friends, this expression, all the trees, is not without significance. These other trees, I believe, are the many other nations throughout the world which have been dormant and part of the colonial empires of the powerfully great nations of the world. Yes, many nations have gained their independence and national sovereignty since World War II. Many of these nations have names that I can't even pronounce, but they still exist. They're real. And even though many of these nations can't handle or cope with their newfound independence, they cannot be ignored. Friends, since World War II, at least 65 new countries have joined the United Nations Organization. Yes, the fig tree is truly budding. Israel is budding. But so are all the other trees too. Now in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39, as well as in Luke's Gospel chapter 17, verses 26 to 30, we're told that when conditions in the world are just like those in the days of Noah and Lot, we can be sure that the Lord's revelation is going to be soon. In Genesis 6 and 5, we read that in the days of Noah, God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And friends, that's the reason that God brought forth the great flood of Noah's day. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, we're told that the gross sin and immorality of Sodom and Gomorrah was very grievous in God's sight. And we also read that He destroyed those cities with fire and brimstone coming down out of heaven. Now in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ says that as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it also be in the days just prior to His return. Listen, friend, I believe the conditions in the world today could make the antediluvian age and Sodom and Gomorrah look like a Sunday school picnic. Now listen to some of these statements or statistics that I've stored in my head as they were brought to my attention during the past few years. There are 10 million devil worshippers in Western Germany. There are 40,000 teenage alcoholics in the city of New York alone. There is a major crime committed every 38 seconds in the United States. There's a murder committed every 3.5 minutes in the United States. There are 70 people killed by drunken driving every day in the United States. 64% of all murders are committed by people under the influence of alcohol. There are 100 teenage suicides every week in the United States. There are 4,000 doctors who are drug addicts and 10,000 doctors who are alcoholics in the United States. There have been at least 130 regional wars since the World War II, and at least 40 nations are at war in the world today. This year, over 10,000 teenagers will die from drug-related causes in the United States. There are 4,100 abortions every day in the United States. There are 5,000 new users of cocaine every day in the United States. There's an average of 1,750 teachers assaulted by their students in the classrooms in schools throughout the United States every week. Since 1900, over 1,100 false Christs have come upon the scene. And back in 1900, one out of every 60 marriages ended in divorce. Today, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. And that doesn't count those who live together without the formality of a wedding. Friend, I read in James 5 and verse 8, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh," and I believe it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. Oh, my friend, I believe it has to be soon. Now, friend, not only is the coming of Jesus Christ going to be sure and soon, but it is also going to be secret. It's going to be secret. In verse 36 of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." In verse 44 of the same chapter, Jesus says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Friend, Jesus Christ himself tells us back there in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15 that he's going to come as a thief in the night. And what could be more secretive than the plans of a thief? A thief doesn't announce his coming. He doesn't send a message to tell you when he's going to burglarize your home. No, of course not. He comes without warning, and he doesn't give you any indication when he's going to come. And something else, he doesn't stay too long either. He doesn't stay very long. Now, at the present time, according to the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated in heaven at the right hand of his Father God. And he's acting as the one and only mediator between God and man. And the only one who knows when Jesus Christ is coming again is God himself. And friend, this great event will be at a time convenient to God's divine mind and will. Remember that. He is the only one who knows when Jesus Christ is coming again. You know, friends, it's sad when you think of the many times down through the centuries that so-called prophets have led people astray by predicting the time when Jesus Christ would come back. How foolish. How foolish. Jesus Christ tells us that no man knows the day or the hour when he'll come back again. And as far as the revelation of Jesus Christ is concerned, we're told in both 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2, as well as in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. You know, friends, that's what we read about over there in Matthew chapter 25. And that, I believe, is what spelled the doom for the five foolish virgins. You know, the bridegroom of the Lord Jesus Christ came as a thief. And we read that he came at the midnight hour when they least expected him. And we're told that the five foolish virgins were left behind. And we read in Matthew 25 and verse 13 where Jesus Christ says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not, neither the day nor the hour, when the Son of Man cometh." Now the fourth fact I want you to notice about the second coming of Jesus Christ is the fact that it'll be sudden. It'll be sudden. In verse 27 we read, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul tells us, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Yes, it's going to be sudden, in the twinkling of an eye. And I understand that the twinkling of an eye only takes about one-tenth of a second. Friend, there'll be no time for the Christ rejecter to change his mind. No time for praying the publican's prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." No time to ask God to forgive you of your sins. No time for reading about God's way of salvation. And listen, my friend, no time to kiss your saved loved ones goodbye. My friend, you'll have all eternity to lament the fact that you rejected God's offer of mercy through Jesus Christ. Yes, hell and the lake of fire will be your soul's eternal abode if you're not ready when Jesus Christ comes again. And you can only be ready by accepting him as your own and personal Savior. Now then, let me point out another most significant fact concerning the Lord's coming again, and that is the fact that it's going to be selective and separating. It's going to be selective and separating. As I mentioned before, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15 that he's going to come as a thief in the night. Now, friend, we know that a thief comes for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to take away only those things that are valuable. And what could be more valuable than the pearl of great price, meaning the church, for whom the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died? Those who are brought back into a new and proper relationship with God, my friend, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. These are the ones that are so precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, these are the ones that are heirs of God and joint heirs with His blessed Son. Friend, I want you to know today that when a thief comes, he doesn't go to the cellar or to the garage to obtain old newspapers or broken toys. Oh, no. What does he do? He goes right to the master bedroom where he believes he might be able to find some money or bonds or some other precious goods. Yes, he might be looking for pearls and other jewels. And friend, I want you to know that he only takes that which is precious. He doesn't bother with costume jewelry. He knows the real from the false. Did you hear that? He'll only take that which is real. He'll be just like a thief. He'll know what is precious. Friend, I believe that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again will be a time of selection and separation. The wheat shall be separated from the tares. The wise virgins shall enter the kingdom of God, while the foolish cry from without. Husbands shall be separated from their wives, brothers separated from their sisters, parents separated from their children, and friends are going to be separated from their friends. You know, over in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 34, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Yes, the coming of the Lord is going to be both selective and separating. Tell me, my friend, would you be taken, or would you be left? Now, no doubt there are some of you who are asking, well, how about those Christians who've already died? Will Jesus Christ take them too? Why, of course, my friend. They belong to Him. Paul tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Know ye not that ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. Yes, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price of the shed blood of Christ. He again tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now to you who are saved, brother and sister in Christ, isn't it nice to know that Jesus Christ is coming in person? No mere angelic messenger to meet us and welcome us into the presence of God. No, it says that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Thank God for that. Now, the sixth thing we notice about the second coming of Christ is the fact that it'll be startling. Yes, it'll be startling. The people, just like back in Noah's day, will be eating and drinking and making merry with no thoughts whatsoever about eternity and meeting God. Friend, if Jesus Christ comes during the night in this part of the world, my, what startling events will follow. A Christian bus driver will be caught up, leaving his bus weaving crazily along the highway until it crashes. That plane overhead with a saved pilot and co-pilot will plunge earthward amidst the screams of the doomed and the damned. Automobile accidents by the thousands will happen simultaneously. People will be disappearing from the mills, the shops, and other places of employment. Confusion will reign, and the excitement will be intense. At first, the whole thing will be a mystery, until someone who has heard the truth and realizing what has happened will reveal the fact that the Lord has come. And friend, if the Lord should come during the evening hour, during the so-called prime time, about 75 million television sets will be darkened, and someone from the federal government, perhaps the president, I said perhaps the president, will appear to announce an emergency meeting of the National Security Commission to investigate the reason why countless thousands of people have simultaneously disappeared from the United States as well as throughout other countries in the world. Perhaps the United Nations Security Council will call an urgent session to determine what has happened. And friends, one of the saddest sights to visualize and will take place at the second coming of Jesus Christ will be the millions of unsaved mothers who will be in convulsive agony because their babies have disappeared from their breast, the playpen, or the crib. Oh, the sorrows that man's sins have brought upon himself. Tell me, my friend, how about you? Would you be taken, or would you be left? Now, friend, one of the most startling things to be evidenced will be the fact that so many professing, though not possessing Christians, will be left behind. Among them will be many ministers and so-called Christian workers. Oh, they were sincere, hard-working church people, all right, but they were never born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. They were depending upon their own self-righteousnesses, their good works, their religious activities, and things like that to gain them favor in the sight of a holy God. They had never acknowledged their sinful condition before God. They had never admitted their need for the blood of Jesus Christ as an atonement for their sins. They had scoffed at the old-fashioned hellfire gospel preaching that is too seldom heard from pulpits in American churches today. Friend, tell me, are you one of them? Are you religious and religiously lost? Oh, I hope not, my friend, because if the Lord should come right now, you'd be left behind for divine judgment. Now, perhaps you're a professing Christian today, and yet you know down deep in your heart and soul that there's something wrong, because you've made a false profession of faith in Christ. Maybe you went to an altar, but my friend, remember this. There are millions of souls down in hell today that went to an altar. They got to an altar, but they never got to Christ. Did you hear that, friend? They got to the altar and never got to Christ. Friend, listen. If you'd like to call a halt to your folly, and yet you're afraid of embarrassment, let me remind you, friend, that there's no embarrassment in hell, only weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So, friend, why not be wise today? Consider your latter end. Discard that false profession, and right now, with all your heart, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Now, the last thing I want to mention about the second coming of Christ is the fact that it's going to be satisfying. The unsaved will be satisfied because they won't have to hear the gospel anymore. They can wallow in their sin. But my friend, those of us who are saved are really going to be satisfied because we'll have Jesus Christ for all eternity. Friend, I plead with you today, as this Voice of the Gospel program comes to a close, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, and if you do, you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father, we ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.